All right, Genesis chapter number 18, if you would, in your Bible. Before we get started, I'm going to show you a video that has nothing to do with the Bible or God or church or nothing. I don't know this guy. I showed it to a couple people, and they said they recognize him. He's on social media or something. I don't know. I don't recommend social media or anything. And I don't even recommend this guy. I don't know who he is. But another preacher sent me this video, and I said, this is perfect for what I'm dealing with on the home. And so, Brother Rome, make sure it's turned up. It's called The Perfect Husband.
I just got home from work. You have a house project for me to work on? Awesome. I love working all day, and then coming home is working all night as well. Nothing I'd rather do every single night than work on some more work. I love when you tell me how to drive. It makes me feel super safe. Plus, I've been in 0 accidents, and you've been in 4 just this year. So you're totally qualified to tell me how to drive. Hi, honey. Yes, so glad you called. I actually was just thinking about how much work I have to get done today, and I could totally use a call from my wife.
No, I love giving you a back rub while you cry. I'm actually really glad that you've rejected all 6 of my solutions I proposed. The best option is just to keep crying about it. You're doing a great job of directions. Keep forgetting to tell me where to turn and which exit to take. It's super helpful. Hey, honey, I'm just looking at the bank statement. I love that you are spending $9 on a drink at Starbucks every day. There's no way you can make the same coffee for a fraction of the price here.
I will not ask if anybody can relate to that. My wife's not in here, so I'll tell one story. And man, you don't have to relate to it if you don't want to with your wife sitting here. But I've been in another state and her call with a problem. And there's nothing I can do about it right then and there. It got real quiet. Like something happened to a piece of, like the chair on the kitchen table broke. Okay. What are you going to do about it? Gonna try to fix it when I get home. Anybody relate to that? All right, there's a few honest people. There's a few honest folks in here tonight. So we've been dealing with the home on Wednesday nights. We've been dealing with it for a while. And it's an important subject. And the world's idea of a home or the ideal home is twisted. It's messed up. The world's idea of love is messed up. Got this idea, these new shows, and I don't watch any of them. I don't think there's anything that's on television right now that's worth watching.
Right.
Amen. And one time, people said, well, what about Andy Griffith? Amen. And you don't preach about Andy Griffith in a Baptist church because that's all we can watch. But if you remember on Andy Griffith, nobody on that show was married except for Otis, and he was the town drunk. Nobody else was married on that show. Right? Single parents with kids, all this. I mean, it was all messed up. And the only married one was Otis, and he stayed drunk. He locked himself up every night. Amen. And so, you know, all joking aside, the Hollywood and the world has been attacking the home. And they've been attacking the home and attacking the home ever since Satan started off with it back in the garden. And there's been an attack on the home ever since. And as soon as television and programming came out, they've been programming away from the traditional biblical home and the order of the home. And all these television shows and I Love Lucy, all these old ones, television shows that came out, they all attacked marriage and attacked the home. Lucy was always getting in trouble and trying to hide it from her husband the whole episode. Amen? And it just went from there. And now you have sodomy in the family unit on television, and you've got all the, it's just wicked. They got these shows, and I have not watched one episode of them, but I've seen advertisements for them and seen things and heard people talk about them, but like The Modern Family and different things. It's just, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. But that's what people think the home is. And it is far from the biblical home. And so we've been dealing with this subject, and I wanted to start on what is love tonight. And I went over the order of the home last week. We've done it before, but I did it again just as a refresher. And I want to give you an example of a home out of order in the Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to give you a good example of the home, and then I'm going to show you in contrast a home that is out of order, and look what happens in this home. Okay? And we talked about this. Christ is the head of everything. He's the head of absolute. We don't have to preach about his role. He does a good job at his role. And then we have the husband. And then we have the helpmeet, which is the wife. And then we have the heritage, which is the children. Amen. And then we have the dog. And I believe that every child needs something they can boss around. Amen. Now, the older kids think it's the younger kids. And there's a fine line there. But they need a dog. We have a dog in our home that the kids can get onto and tell what to do. And amen. Ella gets a little carried away with the discipline of the dog. And I was like, you didn't learn that from me. I don't do that to you. Amen. But they need a dog. And then the dog needs a cat. Everybody has to submit to somebody. And the cat, there's mice in our home. Don't tell my wife. But the cats keep them in line. Amen. You say, what about the mice? Don't tell her about the snakes that are under the house. No, there's all kind of... Everybody submits to somebody. That's how God designed it. That's how God set the home up. In the home, Brother Stephen said this last Sunday in Sunday school, it is an ordained unit from God. He ordained the home before he ever did government and before he ever did church. So we get the home wrong, the church will be wrong. We get the church wrong, government's wrong. And look where we're at today. It started back with the home unit. It started back with raising children and raising up a home that pleases God. We didn't get that right. Somewhere down the line, that got offline. And then the church got out of whack. And now look at the government. Amen. It's a whole vicious cycle. All right, Genesis chapter 18. So we looked at the order of the home, and we looked at that in detail last week. You can go listen to it online if you want to on our website. Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 1, we're going to read several verses here. Now, Abraham was a man that pleased God with his family. He was a blessed man of God, and he did it right. God had a lot of great things to say about Abraham being a father and a husband and his home. He knew how to command his home. That's what God said about him, right? And the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he was trying to get a little air, amen? And the Bible said in verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. We find him showing good hospitality to these strangers, these men who we find out are angels that have showed up. In verse number 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent and said, Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And she said, do it yourself. Is that what it says? No. He walked in and said, make some cake. Amen. And she said what? Yes, Lord. So 1 Peter chapter 3 says that's how she responded to Abraham. Yes, Lord. Don't shut down on me now. Yes, Lord. Y'all need to go read it in 1 Peter. Verse 7. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk. Man, we get an amen on that right there. And the calf which he addressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. She was in the home. And she was there when Abraham turned and said, hey, go make these things. Go cook. Amen. And she went and did it. Amen. And then he went out and did the grilling. That's what we find here. Amen. You say, how do you, later on in Exodus, God must have liked the way it smelled and all that stuff, because later on he said, take butter and milk and the meat and give me burnt offerings. Amen. How does the Lord like his steak?
Yeah.
Well done.
Right.
He said, make me a burnt offering. I like mine a little rare medium, but the Lord likes him well done. Now, we're not supposed to have blood, so don't make sure it's not rare. But he did these. All right. So here's just a picture of a lady that was in her place in the home. These men showed up. She said, hey, can you, make some food? And she jumped to it, made it. Where's your wife? She's there. She's at home. She's a help meet for her husband.
Yeah.
I preached a couple weeks ago on the wife. Her primary responsibility is her husband. And everything else in her life is secondary to her primary responsibility being her husband. And she will not have the joy unless her heart is right in that matter in any other area in her life. And so we looked at that. All right, now let me give you one chapter later the negative example of a home. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot. I mean, we're one chapter later of a great example of a home. Now, was Abraham and Sarah perfect? No, they weren't perfect. They do like some of your homes, where Abraham says something and Sarah laughs in her heart. Amen? I mean, I know the women in here laugh at their husbands sometimes, right? My wife laughs all the time, and I thought it's because I was funny. It's not because I said something funny. It's because I'm funny, I guess. So. And so they weren't perfect. He asked his wife to tell a little lie. That's not right. They weren't perfect. But God had a lot to say about their home and that he commanded his children and his wife. And so the Bible says a lot about that. Now look at this example. Well, you know the story of Lot. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And so he, looking in that direction, he ends up down there, a wicked city. And here we have an example of a modern home. Right? You say, what are you talking about? Let me show you. All right, look here in verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Now, this is in the evening time, right? That's what that is. It's during the evening time, all right? During the evening, everybody should be at home, right? Everybody should be at home. Everybody should be ready to eat, getting ready to settle down for the night. At even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So this man's sitting out here at the gate. He's got a prominent position in the world. You don't get a prominent position in the world by living right and doing right. You're not going to get it. Now, God will bless you at a company and those kind of things, and he'll give increase, and he'll do all that. Amen? And thank God for it. But I'm telling you, you don't end up being on the council in Sodom without being crooked. You can't be a Christian, godly man, and end up in some kind of government position in Sodom. Right? And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. So he's hospitable just like Abraham was. And tarry all night and wash your feet. Abraham did the same thing. He offered him the same thing. And you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. I mean, these two angels that were sent from God, they didn't even want to go in the man's house. That's sad. I mean, would a preacher or somebody that God sent be ashamed to go in your home? I've met some homes that way. They're ashamed to go in there. Amen. And I've met some folks that they don't want a preacher anywhere near their home. Amen. Why is that? Amen. So you might end up in a sermon illustration. Well, I've been into homes before. Preacher Bonds, I know you have too, out visiting. Man, people are kicking beer cans under the table and inviting you in at the same time, hiding magazines. Amen. Supposed to be saved, born again people, got backslid on God, whatever the case might be. That's probably what Lot did. Lot had to clean up the beer cans and clean up all the filth that was in his home. He wasn't a church going man. Amen. He was probably a social drinker, a social smoker. Y'all getting quiet on a Wednesday night, amen? All right. He said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. And he entered into the house, and he made them a feast, and said, Mrs. Lot, go bake unleavened bread. What does the Bible say there? What's he doing making the sandwiches? Do you know who you do not find in this story? In this part of the story? Lot's wife. It's evening time. Amen? She's not there. And what we find out, he ends up doing the baking. I saw a commercial the other day of this man that was home with children on him, and he's trying to do the laundry for like a Tide commercial or something. You know what they're trying to say? This is normal. Let her be in corporate America, and he stays home and takes care of them. They're getting it all back. It's the wrong order. Now listen, I understand that sometimes the wife has to work outside the home, but that's not God's ideal plan. It's keepers at home. Amen. And we've talked about that and talked about that even if she does, her primary responsibility is her husband in that home. Primary responsibility. I mean, the Bible's clear on that. But we've got homes that are so far out of order, they're out of whack. There's other people raising children. You say, what do you mean? Mom and dad's not raising them. The daycare's raising them. The school's raising them. That's not the order that God has. And so we find here that she's not in the picture. And so he does the baking. Now somebody might say, well, my husband's a pretty good chef. Or he likes to cook. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. She wasn't. I don't see her anywhere in the picture. And somebody said, well, she might have been in the background. Let me take your daughter and throw her out in the street to some men and see how Mama reacts. Mama wasn't there. Mama's nowhere to be found right here in this part. And we find out later on that as they're leaving, Lot goes to his son-in-law's. He had two daughters that married and two daughters that were not married. And he goes to his son-in-law's that had married his daughters and said, we have to get out of Sodom. God's about to burn the place to the ground. We've got to leave. And the Bible said that he seemed as one that mocketh. You know what that means? They said, yeah, right. He had no influence on his family at all. He lost all spiritual influence in his family. We've had men in our church before that none of them go to church here now, so don't look around and try to figure out who it is. But went home and said, today going forward, we're going to do right. And that's a good thing, right? But they laughed him to scorn and said, no, we're not doing that. We've been married for 40 years. I'm not starting that. You want me to submit to you now? Amen? Real stories. So then I get a call. Says, hey, preacher, we're leaving the church. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that he handled it right. Amen? He said, how do you handle something like that? You sit down and read the Bible and pray together and say, hey, let's talk about this. I've been doing it wrong for 40 years, and let me apologize. And I'm not going to be a jerk to try to fix it all right in one night that I messed up for 40 years by doing this wrong. But let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. Let's study the Bible. Let's keep faithful to church. And, you know, he went home and put his foot down and started throwing stuff out. And she wasn't ready for all that. Amen. And so she gave him an ultimatum and they left and they're both drunks right now. It breaks my heart. Amen. And so we find here that Lot, she wasn't there. And that this is a sad scenario. So the sons-in-laws, they didn't believe him. And when they left, the Bible says over here in verse number, where is it, 26? But his, y'all there with me? Look at 19 verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. These angels said, leave and don't turn around. Don't come back. Don't do anything. And I've seen all kind of Bible commentaries try to correct the Bible or try to make this work. I don't care how she did it. Some people said she turned around and went back in the flames. She, you know, from all the sulfur, she turned to salt. The Bible says she looked back and turned to Saul. That's all I'm going to go with. Amen. I don't care if she was 2 days away from it. She turned around and turned to Saul. I don't care how it happened. The Bible says she turned to Saul. But why did she learn back? Why did she turn back? She had some grandkids still there. That could be it. But I kind of believe that she also had a love for that place outside of the home. Maybe there was somebody else there that she loved beside her husband. I don't know. You said you're reading into it. I see a picture of a lot of families today.
Yep.
Maybe she was addicted to the social media and fell in love with somebody on there. I don't know what happened. But there was some reason she decided to turn her back on her husband and her two girls that got out of there, to turn her back on them back towards Sodom. And you might say, well, she still had grandbabies there. She still had daughters there. And I understand. I get that part of it. But I'm telling you, there was something that drew her heart back to that place. And when these men came in and it was time to make something there, he didn't turn around to his wife that was in the tent or his wife that was in the home at evening time and say, hey, can you make something for these men? The Bible said he did it. And next thing you know, we got a single dad raising two girls who have been exposed to every wickedness under the sun. Probably had cell phones as 8-year-old girls. Amen. They were exposed. How in the world did they know what to do with their dad? We have mainly adults in here. How in the world did they know what to do with their dad? How did they know to get him drunk and to do what they did with him on two different occasions? They learned that from somewhere. Messed up home. A home out of order. And you know whose fault all this is? Lot. Well, my wife. No. You moved him there, buddy. You decided to leave Uncle Abraham. Now, it goes all the way back to Abraham got told not to bring any of his family with him, and he brought Lot anyway. Abraham disobeyed God, too. And it ended up causing him problems later on as well. But Lot had a family he was responsible for, and he led them into this place and lost his wife, lost all four of his daughters. Two of them there, two of them when he decided to get right with God. And we've seen that before. People will try to come back to God. They'll come back to church, and they'll say, I want to get right with God, and praise the Lord for it, but they lost their kids. And the kids might even come back to church for a minute, but he ended up losing both of those girls. So there's two examples of what I was talking about order in the home. And I know some of y'all were expecting me to teach on love tonight, and I don't do that hardly at all. But next week, we'll start looking at what is love in the home. Amen. Homes in America, homes in churches are an absolute disaster. They're out of order. I used to say, if you want to see a home that's out of order, go to Walmart. Just go look in Walmart. Amen. The husband submitting to the wife, the wife submitting to the kids. It's all backwards. Amen. Do you want to test for the submission in your home? Take your children to Walmart and they go to get something and just say, no, you cannot have that. And then let's see how it plays out. And I'll tell you how the order of the home goes. Amen. If the kid throws a fit, the dad gets onto the kid and the mom gets onto the dad for getting onto the kid, that's a home out of order. But if mom or dad don't even have to say nothing, the kid stops. Amen. Okay. There's a little bit of order in this home. Amen. And I know boys and kids, they're going to be kids. Amen. And thank God for them. We got a lot of kids here. And I love it. And the kids get into things. They break things. My wife keeps a wonderful home, but it's never perfect. Why? Because we have children. And a dog and a cat or two. Amen. Stuff happens. I mean, you could get it immaculate, and then all of a sudden you hear crash. I mean, you know, kids will be kids. I've been in some homes where kids are not allowed to be kids, and that's a bad environment. That's a bad environment. Most of the kids that grow up in that environment, they hate their parents when they move out. Kids should be allowed to be kids. but they should obey and they should listen. And we're going to get into some of that later on, but you do that training at home. And when you say stop, they'll stop on a dime. And they train that at home. Why? Because one day they're going to be out in public and they're going to go running across the street and the car's coming.
Yeah.
And you need to say stop. And they hear that voice and they stop. It scares me half to death when I go out and see these kids running all over the parking lots and the parents can't control them. That'd be awful to have a kid get hit. Amen? They ought to learn those things. And the Bible even talks about if you discipline your children, you could save them from going to hell. They learn discipline. They learn how to respond to authority. And then one day when the Lord convicts them, they know how to respond to authority in their life. Amen? And then maybe they'll, you know, get a decent job when they grow up. Show up to work on time. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Hope this was a blessing tonight. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about what is love in the home. All right. We've been going over this for a while, but I saw these illustrations earlier this week when I was studying, and wanted to share them with you tonight about homes that are out of order and homes that are in order. So, I'm thankful for the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Carl, will you just dismiss the prayer tonight?